Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Of course, coming up, it is a very big news week ahead. And we said it earlier on Friday on WTIC. We don't know how we're going to be able to keep track of it all. We have a very busy week ahead as far as news and newscasts go. For me, our talk shows are going to have so many different directions and so many different topics that they could go after and talk about. It'll be a fun week. It'll be a fast week in the news world, that is. Or just put your politics aside. As far as news and information goes, it is going to be fast moving, perhaps the fastest we have seen in quite some time, although the news cycle has not disappointed recently. But as we start off, let's begin with our in-depth headlines on Spotlight Connecticut. President-elect Donald Trump, he's making his way to Washington, D.C. today for his inauguration on Monday. I believe he's stopping in Virginia. And it's due to the frigid cold temperatures that are forecast to reach Connecticut in the coming days. It'll be the first time since January 21st, 1984, that the inauguration will be held inside the U.S. Capitol. By the way, the last time that happened, January 21st, 1984, no, that is not a mistake. Yes, Inauguration Day is on the 20th, but when it falls on a Sunday, it's moved to Monday. So the 20th happened to be on a Sunday that year. Therefore, it was moved to the 21st for the public ceremonies. However, at the White House, there was a private ceremony for President Reagan on the 20th itself. It just wasn't the big shebang, if you will. Then the public came and the rest is history, right? But it was cold, and so they did it indoors. And that's what's happening this year. As the nation prepares for the inauguration at noon on Monday, a number of people reached out to me this week, and they said, Connecticut's not going to have much representation there. It is true, Connecticut's not a MAGA Republican stronghold, not in the slightest. But I did tell them that no, that isn't true in a sense that there will be Connecticut representation there. The Connecticut GOP actually has a number of party events that are happening this weekend in Washington, D.C. We are going to have a guest on the phone, but I can't get through to him. So unfortunately, I don't think that we're going to be talking with him, but he is making his way down there as we speak. And maybe that is partially why we had a problem in getting connected, but they are making their way down to Washington, D.C. for the Connecticut GOP events. And I was going to ask for their perspective. There's also going to be a watch party that the GOP is having on Monday for Inauguration Day. So it is, again, something that we're going to be monitoring very closely on WTIC, the Connecticut happenings, the D.C. happenings, and everything that happens after all the big balls and the galas on Monday. So quite a news week ahead, and I encourage you to stay with WTIC to figure out exactly what's going on and get an understanding of it. Other major stories that we've been following. TikTok says that the Chinese-owned social media platform is set to go dark on app providers tomorrow without further guidance from President Biden. But the president is leaving the future of the app to the incoming Trump administration. President-elect Trump, who once opposed the app's availability in the United States, now says that the ban may be delayed or that he may not enforce penalties against the app being provided to Americans. And when that news broke yesterday, I got on the phone with Quinnipiac University law professor William Unger to explain how that may work out. You heard some snippets in our newscast. Here's a slightly longer explanation that he had for us.
This bill is law, right? Passed by both the House and the Senate, signed into law by President Biden. And so it has the force of law. That means anything that President Trump wants to do, he cannot do unilaterally, excuse me. So he can't just repeal the law outright. And I say that because the law has a penalty provision. That penalty provision says that if any service provider like Apple, Google, et cetera, do not comply with removing its servicing of TikTok's U.S. operations, then those companies face a pretty hefty fine of $5,000 per user, which, of course, do the math, is a lot of money, even for these companies. So they have to make a decision. The CEOs, plus probably their boards of directors, have to make a decision as far as whether they'll trust Donald Trump's assurances and roll the dice and essentially defy the rule of law here or the text of this bill. And that's certainly a possibility. The issue, however, that they run up against is the bill also has a 5-year statute of limitations, which means that any possibility of a penalty or a fine can exist for 5 years in the future, which outlasts the next Trump administration.
And of course, the other option is to sell to an American company, which TikTok's owner is not considering. So there's going to be a lot of developments as far as TikTok is concerned as of tomorrow, literally tomorrow. And I don't know which way it's going to go, but we will find out very soon how that is going to work out. And we'll break that down in the news on WTIC. And another story that we have been following in the news, of course, is the Israel-Hamas ceasefire and the hostage release that is beginning on Sunday. Women, children, the elderly, and the sick among the first to be released. 600 humanitarian aid relief trucks will be allowed into Gaza. The second ceasefire deal is supposed to be reached before the first phase ends. Those are our Spotlight Connecticut headlines. Now, coming up on Spotlight Connecticut today, our featured guest is going to be someone who was on the show last summer, and you loved her, so I'm bringing her back. Her name is Susie McGuire from the Poop Museum. Now, I know that that sounds ridiculous, but she teaches kids about poop and how it relates to digestive health. Susie is preparing some special programs for February, which is when National Poop Day happens. We'll be talking with Susie in a moment on WTIC.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's WTIC News Talk 1080. Happy to be here with you on this afternoon, this gloomy Saturday afternoon. But I think that I have something that will help make things not so gloomy for you. You know, we start the show talking about news and talking about some bigger picture issues. And then we spend most of the rest of the shows, talking about some things that we wouldn't necessarily anticipate in Connecticut, that we wouldn't necessarily hear about during the week. And that's kind of my specialty. I dig up these oddities, these different stories that people don't necessarily consider. And when she came, Susie McGuire, when Susie came to Connecticut last summer, it created a media frenzy. Everybody wanted to talk about what she was doing, which is the Poop Museum. And it sounds ridiculous. It does. But it's actually an educational tool intended for kids to teach them about digestive health. And schools and libraries across Connecticut can't get enough of it, and the kids can't get enough of it, and the parents love taking their kids there. And when I found out about this, I said, this is just the weirdest thing that's going on at our schools, at our libraries. And I brought Susie on. And you guys at WTIC loved her and you learned a lot. I was taking a risk. I had asked my boss, I said, can I do this? And my boss was like, totally, let's do it. So, you know, Susie came on and I didn't know how it would be received. But Susie, people loved you. So welcome back.
Thank you so much.
How's that for an introduction? How's that for an introduction?
Oh my gosh, you've just made my week.
No, seriously, it is true. It's the most unusual thing. And it's something that you're doing not just in Connecticut, but this has become a worldwide phenomenon for you.
Well, the program actually began during COVID online and in lockdown. And 15,000 kids from 80 countries came to the online version of the program or some of my other programs. And it's huge. And since then, I think now I've lost count a little bit, but maybe somewhere between 150 and 200 libraries and schools I've been to live, which has been extraordinary.
Especially in such a short period of time, are you surprised by the success that this program's been having? Are you surprised that next month, we're going to talk more about this, next month there are schools and libraries that want your program back? Again, we'll talk about that, but does it surprise you?
Well, I will tell you that I have always, my entire life, I have a very lavatorial sense of humor and finding poop completely hilarious and funny. In fact, when I was a management consultant, I had my own management consultancy, we sent all of our clients one year South Park, Mr. Hanky.
You're kidding.
So, no, I'm not. And I just loved it. But I will say that when I very first launched this program, I launched it in October 2020, and it was instantaneously sold out. I expanded the numbers, put the price up, sold out. So I was really hope. I knew it was an online hit. I knew parents loved it. It was a five-star program. I wasn't sure how it would be live, but from the very first one, oh my gosh, I was like, yeah, this is next level fun.
It's very different, that's for sure, and it's innovative. And I tell people, again, that the title itself, you don't quite know what to expect. You hear something called the Poop Museum, and you have no idea what it's really about. But you stress that this is about digestive health and understanding how our bodies work. So this is really an educational tool for kids.
It is a hugely educational tool for kids. And it's not just I think in the very first program, I talk about 15 different animals and their poop and their pooping and the way animals use poop as protection. They use poop as food. They use poop to attack their enemies. There are all kinds of ways that animals use their poop. And there's all kinds of ways that we humans use animal poop. And now,
well, fertilizer,
well,
yeah.
Fertilizer, paper. There's some plastic development, concrete, bricks, facials, soap, honey, it goes on. And fascinatingly, in recent years, I mean, this does go back 2,000 years. The Chinese, of course, did this first. But the idea of poop as medicine, and it is proving hugely, hugely effective for infections like Clostridium difficile, which is a bacterial infection that can affect older people. And there is no real cure for it except we are finding poop transplants, where you take the healthy poop or the poop of a very healthy person full of lots of beneficial bacteria, and you literally turn it into a poop smoothie, and it either goes through a nasogastric tube or it goes directly to the area affected, and it has a phenomenal cure rate. So there is so much to know about whether it's animal poop or whether it's our poop. It's almost endless.
You might be a little crazy, Susie, but that's okay. Because, again, you're teaching things to people that they necessarily would not consider just going day by day in their life. And I would imagine that you hear from people when you do your events. Like if you think back to last summer in Connecticut here, you probably heard from so many people that said, I didn't know that.
Yes. And I think people are astonished by how little they actually know about what is going on all around us. Like I do the whole first part of Poop Museum Part 1 is it basically could be happening in people's backyards. And people are like, what?
Well, again, you don't think about it.
Yeah. But it's constant. The poop is a huge, huge thing in our world. And so, yeah, everybody is, I think, always surprised by just how much there is to know and how much they didn't know.
The reason I wanted to book you, you reached out to me and said that February is going to be a big month for you. Now, February 10th is National Poop Day. Am I correct?
Yes, it is.
And I also want to indicate that it's WTIC's 100th birthday. So I don't know if that's good or bad. But in any event, it is February 10th. And in February, you are doing a big campaign and a big program. Tell us a little more about it.
So I have private students that I work with as well as doing my programs. And one of my private students let me know last year that there was a National Poop Day, and I had not heard.
See, you know everything else about this, but you didn't know that there was a National Day?
I did not know that there was a National Day. So I started investigating, and it seems that nobody owns this day. And its origins are a little murky, but the best we can figure is that it is always on the Monday after the Super Bowl Sunday, because whichever city is hosting gets about a 30% uptick in their wastewater. In their waste facilities the next day on the Monday. So that's
the origin of the day?
That looks like it's the origin of the day, although it is murky. It is not clear how or who came up with this. And I thought, you know what? Nobody owns this day. So we are going to own National Poop Day.
Tell us how. I know we've got a break coming up in a few moments, and after the break, I want to dig into this program more, the logistics of it, how you arrange it. But just give me a taste before we go to the break in a few minutes, what this program is all about. How are you going to own this?
So we have invited libraries and schools. We've got a whole bunch of resources available, so you can have your own poop party or poop event, and those are available free. I'm doing a very special Poop Part 3 program, and we're doing the very first ever night at the Poop Museum.
A what?
Night at the Poop Museum. Oh, yes. Kids are inviting them to come in their pajamas for night at the Poop Museum.
See, I told everybody that you're crazy, but what is that all about?
Well, so what we've done is there are some libraries that I have been to four or five times, and they were like, please make us a Poop Part 3. So I was like, okay, I make Poop Part 3. And then I was like, seriously, we have to try and do a night at the Poop Museum because it would be too perfect. So this is a two-hour poop extravaganza with models of poops for the kids to guess who pooped his poop. We've got a true or poo quiz. We've got poo word searches. We've got poo soap they could try, poo facials, poo coffee to sample. The kids have been invited to ask all the questions that they want to ask, all their poop questions, bring their stuffies to find out about their stuffies poops. It's just everything we could possibly imagine to do.
It is a worldwide phenomenon, and Susie McGuire is with us, and she will continue in a moment. But I want to tell people about an interesting visit that I received this morning at the WTIC radio studios. Jan and Peter, they are devoted listeners of WTIC. In particular, Jan is. She's a huge fan of ours, and she's a big fan of mine. And Jan has been listening to WTIC radio for a very long time, and she had some items for me related to our 100th anniversary that she wanted me to have. So she made one trip to see me late last year, and she found some more items and came to drop them off this morning. But told me that she was very moved by my interview last Saturday with Bowser, who is retiring from performance as a classic rock and doo-wop performer and a guy that has partnered with so many acts from the 50s, 60s, and kind of, you know, a touch of the 70s. And he's been doing performances in Connecticut for 23 straight years. Every third or fourth January, Monday, he's here in Connecticut. But this is the last one tomorrow at Mohegan Sun at the arena. Thousands of people come to see him every year. We've got Chubby Checker coming out next tomorrow. Little Peggy March, I will follow him. So many exciting acts that I will miss seeing. The Lion Sleeps Tonight by The Tokens. I'm not looking at a list. I'm just trying to think of them off top of my head. But Jan, she handed me a little sheet of paper. She said, Morgan, I used to go to these kinds of concerts all the time back in the day. And
you know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
And she dated this 1956. She had the chance to see, let's see, I'm looking at the list. She handed it to me. She hand wrote this. She keeps impeccable notes. She saw Fats Domino, the Harp Tones, the Cleft Tones. Let's see, Bo Diddley, the Five Satins. The Five Satins, you know that song, In the Still of the Night, In the Still of the Night. They recorded that in New Haven. I bet a lot of people don't know that. There was a church down there that they recorded it in the basement. So if it sounds echoey and it sounds like that, well, that's why. It was recorded in a church down in New Haven, and that was a huge, huge identifiable song of that era. But she got to see all these acts back then and was just in love with hearing Bowser. Well, you can hear Bowser tomorrow. If you didn't get your tickets, I think there are still some available. You can get in on the action, but it's going to be quite a show tomorrow, Sunday afternoon at 3. Great time. Literally a great time. The show's not starting at 9 at night, you know. So it's conveniently timed. Bowser retires from performance and all of the acts that have been showing up with him in recent years, they're going to be there to do a number or two and pay tribute to that legacy. And I think it really is going to be history in the making tomorrow afternoon at 3, and I hope that you'll join us there, because I will be there, and it's going to be a fun time. What else can I say? Getting back to our Spotlight Connecticut of this week, thank you, by the way, Jan. Thank you for listening. I think today you're probably out there in Farmington, but also for listening last week. I appreciate it. This week we have Susie McGuire on. She is from the Poop Museum, as crazy as it may sound. And Susie, she said to me off the air, she said, Morgan, you probably think I'm bonkers, but I love doing this. Well, I do think you're bonkers, but that's okay, because if everybody is the same, if everybody tries to be a clone of something or someone, the world, frankly, sucks. So I'm glad that you're out there doing your thing, Susie.
Thank you very much.
I mean
it. I agree. I think we should all do the thing that makes us feel like we're a little bonkers.
So next month, February the 10th, of course, is going to be National Poop Day, and you have your programming that you're making available to libraries in and around Connecticut and elsewhere. How does this program specifically work? Are you going to be here? Do they have the materials? Like, tell me how the mechanics of this works.
So I'll be across New England in February doing my live programs. But what I've created is a whole batch of resources, which includes True and Poo, a True or Poo quiz, word searches, who pooped this poo graphics, invitations for poop story times, all manner of things that I'm happy to send to any school, any library that would like to put on its own poop event. I've got links for where you could buy poop soap or poop facial or poop coffee or poop honey. And basically, libraries are just, there's taking all these resources and creating their own kind of event, whatever that looks like. And the libraries that are doing it in Connecticut, which is in Berlin, Newington, and Rocky Hill, they're all doing something different. They're each taking the resources and adapting it to their patrons and their spaces and creating just a fun, poopy event in honor of National Poop Day.
What do these materials look like? You know, if somebody's in this audience, they're listening and says, maybe I could bring this to my library, my school, or whatever. What are these materials that you're sending them? Because I believe it's electronic. These aren't physically mailed in a package like a zip file. So exactly. How does this work?
Exactly. It's a zip file full of things that you can print out and use as posters. You can print out. So I've designed these bell jars with I think I sent some to you when we were chatting on Instagram.
Yes.
Bell jars with different animal poops in, and basically all the names of the animals are removed, so you can put them on display, and the kids can have. There's a little check sheet for who pooped this poop. There's a True and Poo quiz with all kinds of questions, and then an answer sheet and something for the kids to answer the questions on. And then the answers, there's a poop word search that's printable, outable, with an answer sheet again. It's all just printables that you can use however you wish. And then a list of things that are, I guess, are probably our favorite things, poop games, poop books. Links for where you can purchase all of that if you want to. Doesn't happen to, this could be a zero expense event where libraries and schools take their pre-existing poop books, have a poop story time, invite the kids to come with their stuffies and come in their pajamas. It could be as elaborate or not as anybody wants it to be. It's just an opportunity to celebrate a rather fabulous National Day.
So let me tell you, Susie, and I don't know if you'll like this question or not, but I'm the most hated man in Connecticut, I say, so I just let what's on my mind fly. So let me ask you, if I were you, I would be freaking out, because I don't know if I would trust anybody else to teach this program, because you are so into it, you're so engaged, you're so well-read on this. I don't know if anybody else, I don't know if I were you, if I would trust anybody else to teach this.
Nobody else is, I think that's the thing. Nobody's teaching the program. So I will be elsewhere in New England delivering the program. You know, I'll be doing my live program. This is not the program. This is a very custom design thing for libraries to do or schools to do their own poop event, but it is not the program.
So it's not like a teacher has a lesson plan and they're reading from, you know, materials that you've supplied them.
No. It would be, you know, there'll be poop fact sheets. You know, there'll be a fact sheet for an elephant, but it will, or for a rat or a bee. There's lots of materials. But first of all, it wouldn't worry me. I mean, even if anybody did want to do the program, I think the more that this is out there in the world, the better it is. That's it. I've been creating things my entire life. And people used to say to me, have you copyright? Have you trademark? Have you this? Have you that? And I'm like, no. But if people want to try and do this, I'm happy. Go for it. Go for it.
That is humble of you, because some people, like me, I don't think I could let that fly. But very cool.
I don't really. That sort of thing doesn't bother me.
Well, very interesting. Well,
I already have more programs that I am not able to do myself. Do you know what I mean? There's more demand for me to be in person than I can actually satisfy.
Well, Susie, we have to take another quick break here. But before we do, if somebody's listening, they're interested in this program, they want the materials so they can outfit it to their needs and learn a little bit more from you, how can they find you and get in touch with you?
So they can either message me through Instagram, which is at the Poop Museum, or they can go to the Poop Museum website, which is www.thepoopmuseum.com. Or they can just send me an email at Susie@thepoopmuseum.com.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
The last time Susie McGuire from the Poop Museum was on with us, which was last August, I believe, if memory serves me right, we had all of the usual questions that listeners had sent in to me that I even had myself, you know, why does poop stink and things like that, okay? And Susie went through all of those. So if you go to the Audacy platform, AUDACY, you look up Spotlight Connecticut or wherever else you should get your podcasts, you can find that particular episode and get those answers for yourself. So I don't necessarily have any specific questions about poop for Susie herself as she embarks on this big campaign that she's got coming up in February, which we've been talking about. But I think that she probably has a fun poop fact or two that she could share with us. Do you?
I would. I mean, there's so many.
I know there are. Yeah, and you're constantly researching it too. So is there anything else that you've learned recently that you could tell us?
I am. I will tell you that I did not realize until recently that architects now have to take account of pigeon poop when they account for the weight when they're planning and organize, you know, putting together their plans.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, can that add up to be a lot? Is that going to be a lot of weight on the structure?
It absolutely can be. I mean, pigeons poop, birds poop a lot. Pigeons are known to gather, and anything over time builds up. Accumulates. It's one of the reasons, I mean, there are many reasons for, you know, trying to keep pigeons away. But yeah, I had not realized that it was actually factored in. Maybe not the hugest of factor, but a factor nevertheless.
Wow. Now, how often, here's a question, here's a good follow-up, and I don't know if you have the answer, and if you do, you do, and if you don't, you don't. If that is actually a factor, and it's on these buildings, are there people that go clean that specifically, get it off?
Oh, yes.
There are. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I know that there are window washers and things like that, but.
Pigeon poop removals. Yeah.
Well, you just taught me something new there. So I asked for a fun poop fact. I got it. I got it all right.
Another thing, which actually, it's not really poop, but it is fart. Which, you know, they're in the vicinity, of course. When a lot of people don't know this, but Benjamin Franklin, He actually wrote a paper, an essay entitled Fart Proudly. Yeah. One of the founding fathers.
All right. All right. Well, you know, wow. Okay. I have no comment on that one. Great. I did want to ask you, Susie, as you go and you teach people these things, like, I mean, you really blew my mind with that architectural design one. But as you go about and you teach people these things, you're seeing kids, you're meeting their parents, maybe you're meeting grandparents. Are you making new friends? Are you making new connections as you go out and do this?
I am. And it makes my heart so happy. I was in a school in England a couple of months ago, and as a boarding school and day school for in the English countryside, and it's absolutely beautiful. It was like I arrived in Hogwarts. And at the end of the program with the sort of 4 to 8 year olds, these kids came barreling up at me, and one just threw their arms around me and was like, "I don't want you to leave." And then literally was surrounded by like the whole group of 4 to 8 year olds. And it was extraordinary. And I get quite tearful thinking about that. And like, there's a grandmother, one in particular, that lots and lots of grandmothers came for the program bringing different kids, grandkids each time. One in particular had taught her grandson, Richard, a little skit that I do with pandas. And she came and she was like, "Susie, hi, it's me again. I've brought Richard." And they showed me how they had done it. They were doing the skit, like my little panda puppets. And Richard came up and did the skit with me. He was word perfect. But it was only afterwards when I thought about it and thought, this crazy little program that I have put together, it that moment, that little panda skit has become core memory for that little boy and his grandmother. And it made me really emotional, because you don't always realize the impact of what you're doing on other people. But like that little child running up to me, hugging me, "I don't want you to leave." And Richard doing this with his grandma, I'm like, wow. It's always so much more than you imagine what you're doing, if you know what I mean. Like, if you really put your heart into what you're doing, it multiplies magically in ways that you cannot even imagine.
Are there places that you go where you say, "Gee, I can't wait to get back there again"? I know that you've been to Connecticut before. You're coming back, so obviously you had a good experience here. But there are so many places around the world that you could take this. And in some instances, you go back to places where you've been before.
Well, I have done the program live only in the U.S. and in England. I am working on perfecting my Dutch version, because I spent a lot of time in the Netherlands and speak Dutch. So I'm very excited to do it over here, a Dutch version. But otherwise, I have not taken the program live elsewhere. I would love to take it everywhere. I'd love to do a world tour of the Poop Museum. Absolutely. I would absolutely love to do that. And I will say this, that the Poop Museum, I started making phone calls when I first did this, started making phone calls to Massachusetts libraries, because that's where I have family. So that first tour in November 2023, I came to 27 Massachusetts libraries and one New Hampshire library. And this year I'll be going to over 150 libraries in 7 states.
Okay, final question for you, Susie. I hate to cut you off, but I'm dying to know. So you speak Dutch, you said?
Yeah, ik spreek Nederlands.
Now, how do you say poop in Dutch? Go slow, go slow.
It is poop.
Oh, well, that's easy.
It just spells different. It's P-O-E-P. Poop.
Poop. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was expecting something really crazy and fun, because Dutch can be crazy and fun.
Oh, Dutch can be crazy and fun. Yeah. Like winkelwagen, which is their word for shopping trolley.
That is a fun word. I like that.
Isn't it great?
Maybe you could come on and teach us Dutch sometime. How about that?
I'd love to.
Well, Susie, again, in our final moment here, how do people get in touch with you? Maybe they're interested in the poop program that you have available, either for next month or some other time. How do they find you and what you're doing online?
So either on Instagram at the Poop Museum or on the website, thepoopmuseum.com, or just email me, Susie@thepoopmuseum.com.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,